Town Council Planning Committee meeting, so Monday the 26th of March, in the Town Hall at 6 p.m. And I ask for apologies for absence, I have Councillor Jeff Trail. No other apologies. Move on to the public section, where, as you're aware, we have representations will be taken ahead of each discussion for the particular application. We have a number of speakers at which this evening. As you're aware, representations may take up to 3 minutes, and I would ask those that are speaking this evening if they could just obviously relate their comments to the application itself. And I will take the 1, 2, 3, 4 speakers this evening on 4 different items on the agenda. So if members are happy, I wish to take at the beginning of this evening's meeting application 17, Bleak 3051 Full, 1 Broadway. Application 16, Bleak 3036 Major Full, 22 to 24 Albion Hill. And there's 2 items in matters for consideration, which is 1 regarding the camper van traffic order, and secondly, the item under licensing with regard to the site for the temporary uses of Queen's Drive. Are members happy that I take all these items first on the agenda this evening?
Agreed.
Councillor Nicholas.
I was going to say we've got licensing on that.
No, we haven't got there yet.
I'm just about to take. I will take declarations of interest now because some people may have declarations in the items that they're going to discuss with the members of the public speaking. I personally need to declare a personal declaration in item 18, Bleak 0339 tree application in the name of Englington, which Mrs. Englington is a colleague of mine at Hospice Care Exmouth. I also wish to declare an interest in 16, Bleak 3036 Major Full, 2224 Albion Hill, because one of those that will be objecting is also a colleague that works with me at Hospice Care, which is Mrs. Jackie Hayden. Is there any other declarations of interest, please? Councillor Maddy Chapman?
Yes, licensing, number 7.
Thank you. Councillor Cherry Nicholas?
Same thing,
licensing. Thank you. Councillor Tim Dumper?
On the Queen's Drive application, I'm a district councillor, and of course on the Exmouth Regeneration Board.
Thank you. So we now move on to the items that we have members of the public wishing to speak. Firstly, I'll ask Lynn Jones, who wishes to speak against application 17, Bleak 3051 Full, 1 the Broadway. Construction of 1 dwelling, alterations and extension to existing dwelling, including raising the ridge height and the installation of dormer windows to create 3 dwellings and widening of existing vehicular accesses into Salterton Road. The amended plans for consultation tonight are revisions to the dormer windows and roof lights for the conversion of the existing dwelling, reduction in the footprint of the proposed dwelling, and changes to the elevation. Now, Lynn Jones, please, if she can address the planning meeting.
Good evening. I'm Lynn Jones. I live at number 3 of the Broadway, and I wish to reaffirm our very strong objections to the proposal at number 1. When thinking about this objection, do remember that we are ground level a metre lower than the property. At the meeting on the 5th of February, you totally supported our objections on the ground of loss of privacy and overbearing effect and failure to comply with policy D1, 1 and 2 of the local plan. We are here tonight because of amended plans that have been submitted, 23 plans in all, making a total of 55 plans to look through. So let's see what's changed. Well, I can tell you that very little at all has changed in relation to the objections raised. There have been changes to the look of the building, and oh yes, the ground level of the new build has been lowered. by just under 1 foot. But the actual number of buildings have remained unchanged. 4 three-bedroom and three-storey houses crammed into the plot. This remains massively overdeveloped and severely overbearing on our property. In fact, from our lower garden and our back windows, our perspective will be a heightened roof on the original building going up by over a metre, followed by a 4 metre gap, which to us will look like a little dark corridor for a vehicle to be parked right beside our garden wall, followed by a 10 metre wide, 8 metre tall brick wall of the new build house, which has incidentally been moved a metre closer to our property. There are no drawings which show the elevation in relation to 3 the Broadway, no drawings which show the difference in land level. So for people looking at the plans, they have no idea of the completely overbearing impact this will have on us. 3 town councillors have visited us and looked at how the development will affect us, and all 3 agreed it would be overbearing and overdeveloped. In conclusion, I would like to draw your attention to a planning application for a garage workshop on the first floor, just 6 doors down on the same side of the road at number 15, the Broadway. East Devon Planning refused this application on March 1st, 2018 on the grounds of overbearing and detrimental to the amenities of the neighbours and contrary to policy D1. This is much smaller than the proposed new build next to us, and we believe this refusal fully supports our objections that we have raised. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn James. So this is in respect of an application in Litland Ward, which is 17 3051, full, 1 Broadway. I've already read out the details of the application and the amended plans for consultation. We do have comments from statutory consultees and various representations, which I will ask Sue if she'd summarise for you.
Yes, just to remind you that on the 5th of February 2018, we discussed this application. The original application objected on the grounds of loss of privacy and overbearing effect to the neighbouring properties, particularly number 3, and it was contrary to policy D1, 1 and 2 of the local plan. An additional dwelling on the plot would look cramped in appearance and have harmful effect to the character and appearance of the site and the surrounding area. The tree officer requested further information, which still stands, and Councillor Mark Williamson recommended refusal. There were 7 representations in respect of that original application. Subsequently, we have moved to 2 more representations in respect of the amended plans. The amended plans do not mitigate previous objections, i.e. overbearing effect to the neighbouring properties, particularly number 3, cramming and overdevelopment of the site, and it is still contrary to policy D1, 1, 2 and 3 and strategy 6. Thank you.
Councillor Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Having looked at this plot and particularly the neighbouring question number 3, I agree totally with the earlier recommendation from the last planning meeting, where it was objection on the grounds of loss of privacy and overbearing, and the addition of dwelling on the plot would look cramped in appearance and harmful effect. Now, I don't think this meeting needs to go on much after 11 o'clock tonight, but it would do if we look at all these 23 addendums that have come in, which is just ridiculous. I've never seen so much stuff thrown through which is meaningless on paper to cause confusion. The main thing is please, that plan, if you can find it. So I can have that one.
Yes, was that the one I had up?
What does it refer
to? I think we've got to remember that although they've been really calling these plots 1, 2, 3, 4, they're not. You've got one existing house, the same as the rest of the houses in the Broadway. One family house with one family in it. The proposal is to turn this one house into three flats, each containing three bedrooms, plus in the very small garden, put another detached house in with another three bedrooms. So you're going up from a three bedroom house on this whole site to accommodation with 12 bedrooms, four bathrooms, eight toilets and eight cars. It's just too small, it cannot be done. But worst of all, in this application, is as you can see just at the bottom here, from Salford Road, the application to put in a new entrance, car entrance, leading out just there, onto Salterton Road. That is the narrowest part of Salterton Road, the busiest part because it's just below the traffic lights near Tesco, it's near a bus stop as well, and could be the most dangerous spot ever for anyone to try and turn out from. So that is one of the applications, is just certainly no accept, no object to it. As far as some of these other applications, you don't need to put them all on the screen, it's fiddling, it's Nero, while Rome burns. Let's reduce the ridge height, but actually make it the same, and put a bit of glass in the top so it looks smaller. Let's try and put in an application where we take out, put in more roof lights and take out the windows. Another one, let's take all the windows out and make them glazed so we've got a prison wall facing the neighbours. So more dormers go in the front, not only the back, but in the front. We've got smaller dormers, half the size they were before, and so it goes on and on and on.
Without toilets, you might need that paper.
I think I agree, Councillor. This is a waste of paper and a waste of officers' time, this sort of application. I agree totally. And so it goes on with the front of the building looking nothing like the existing building, with plans to actually build, retain the garage in the original house, but build over the garage to put another two bedrooms on top of the cars, which is only a structure for a garage, so not actually added, and so on. I won't take any more time, we certainly don't want to get to 11 o'clock tonight, but with all this lot, yes, altogether now 55 different plans on a site which is too small to even to have a house put in the back garden. There is no access for it, and the existing house, yes, could be turned into two separate flats but not three, but the impact on the house next door, number three of the Broadway, is appalling, and I would move, as the last meeting, that we object to this on the grounds of overdevelopment, access onto one of the busiest roads in Exmouth, which would not be safe, and I do notice Highways have made no comment on this, but that's not unusual, Highways often don't. And the amount of car traffic in this plot, assuming that each three bedroom property might have two cars, so you've got four properties, four dwellings with two cars, there's just not space to park the cars. They'd have to reverse in and out. They are my suggestions to object.
Thank you. Councillor Fred Kagan.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I'd like to second Councillor Nash's proposal.
Thank you. Councillor Murray Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I agree. It's completely out of character with the area. It's grossly under development. They're trying it on. And I would like to recommend that it goes to BMC and we request a site visit from the committee and so they can see what rubbish is being put through. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis of the last meeting that we had concerning this application, which was objected on the grounds of loss of privacy and overbearing effect to neighbouring properties, particularly number three, and contrary to policy D1, 1 and 2 of the local plan, an additional dwelling on the plot would look cramped in appearance and have a harmful effect to the character and appearance of the site and the surrounding area. But I think we want to add to that the access, the access onto the Salterton Road, and also that we recommend that if it's not refused, we would recommend it goes to DMC. Or, development of the site. So proposed and seconded for refusal on those grounds. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Okay. Ms. Jones, if you want to... If you want to be the councillor. Yeah, just the councillor Cahill. So the next application for discussion this evening we have a speaker for is in respect of 16, the 3036 Major Full, which is 2224 Albion Hill. Demolition of two dwellings and construction of 12 apartments. The amended plan for consultation tonight is the repositioning proposal, changes to elevations and position of windows, reduction in the number of units from 12 to 10, and amended red line location plan to include the afternoon entrance. So I'll ask Mr. William Weston if you'd like to address the planning committee first.
I'm not sure I need that. Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak on the amended plans put forward to the local residents on the 15th of March, which was one day before this meeting was due to sit. My name is William Weston. I live at 18 Regent's Gate. My property, Mr. and Mrs. Molesby, 30 Regent's Gate, and Mr. Lindsay, who lives at 26 Real Court, own homes that are the closest to this proposed application for the demolition of the two bungalows that will be replaced by a block of apartments. The application itself started out at 14 units, then went down to 12, and is now called 10 units. The average size and occupancy of the apartments is larger than before. I'm not going into the measurements because we had those at the last meeting and you have the plans in front of you. The amended plans have moved the building line by approximately 6 feet toward Albion Hill and away from myself, Mr. Mosley, and the Regent's Gate estate in total. The realignment of the building line does not detract from the loss of privacy and intrusiveness to not only Regent's Gate, but to Mr. Lindsay of 26 Real Court Drive. There appears to be no attached information qualifying the amended plans, thereby giving no indication as to how far the roof line, the overhang of the build line, it could be 6 foot, we've no idea, would protrude from the build line. The proposed building is higher than the present buildings, particularly number 22 Albion Hill, and is significantly wider and deeper, thereby indicating that the building's mass is completely out of scale and is an overdevelopment, which will have significant impact on all the adjacent neighbours and local residents, who will suffer an unacceptable loss of residential amenity. The amended plans also show that there have been a reduction of one window facing Regent's Gate, so it now amounts to 5 new windows, which are still extremely intrusive, especially to myself and Mr. Mosley. The mass and bulk of this proposed development is contrary to the requirement of quality amenities for existing properties. It creates a high density area for existing residents and any new occupants. There are 2 properties presently on the proposed development site, and this is because 2 properties is the reasonable use of the land in its environment and available access and egress. Presently, numbers 18 and 30 and 26 Real Court Drive and 22 and 24 Albion Hill, part of the application, coexist in a low density area. I am somewhat suspicious of the lack of narrative to these plans and what the applicants intend to do with land gained from the repositioning, i.e. the approximate 6 foot to the rear. It appears to me that these amended plans have just been thrown into the mix to keep this application live. This application has now dragged on for over 2 years. And I would request that all town councillors reject this application and make a strong representation to EDDC planning on behalf of all residents who have objected to this proposed development, which we all know is overrated. The only reported supporters of this proposal are the applicants and the architect. 3 town councillors visited our properties last year, and I am sure that they would agree that these amended plans add no credence to this application. Please decline this proposal.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I now ask Mr. Mike Betchen if you would like to address that.
Thank you for letting me speak. One thing I would highlight before I continue my comments is the planning department actually sent out a revised description today admitting there are 11 flats and not 10 in the current proposal. Several of us received less by email today, and I guess the rest of us hope to get her eventually. But having said that, my name is Mike Benjamin, and I live in one of the bungalows on Royal Court Drive. What I'd like to say is that these amendments do nothing to address the issues that have been raised by the planners and the objections of over 80 local residents. The plan submitted now shows 11 apartments, but in total there is only one less bedroom. There are actually more bedrooms in the latest amendment than in the original plans which were submitted in 2015. Despite this, as far as I can see, they've lost the provision for affordable housing, which should attach to a development of more than 10 properties. There are changes to the elevation and position of windows, yet these result in first floor balconies, Juliet windows, and side windows directly overlooking all their immediate neighbours, especially the adjoining bungalow at 28 Royal Court Drive. The block has been repositioned closer to Albion Hill. This abandons any attempt to respect the building line of the existing properties that are going to be replaced. One consequence is that there's now essentially no green space between the front of the block and Albion Hill, as this is all taken up by parking, as you can see on the projected plan up there. This will not only have a serious impact on the appearance of Albion Hill, but the quality of the development. In fact, the windows of the sitting room of Unit 1 are just feet away from the back of a row of cars. This is not indicative of a well thought out, high quality development. There's certainly no possibility of providing a turning area for service vehicles or adequate visitor parking, let alone a safe exit in these amended plans. They possibly hope to give the illusion these problems have been addressed by having amended the red line location plan to include the access to the highway via the existing residential garages adjacent to Albion Hill. But for me, this simply serves to highlight that their plans depend on land they do not own, and which is already used by residents such as myself who have garages there and rights of way over that land. These amendments do nothing to make the planning application acceptable, and I ask you to vote for its rejection. I further urge you all, as our representatives, to ask the planning department why a planning application which is so clearly unsuitable has been allowed to blight our neighbourhood for such a long time. The original application went in at end of 2015, and we're still discussing. I think this is disgraceful. But thank you very much, and I look forward to your support.
Thank you. So members, this is application 16/3036, Major Full, 22/24, Albion Hill, demolition of two dwellings and construction of 12 apartments, the amended plan, repositioning, changes to elevations and position of windows, reduction in the number of units from 12, and the gentleman has just told us there was an email sent today reducing that to 11, not 10. But I have to say, I've not personally seen it.
Yeah,
the
yeah that's true, that was my mistake. It is 11.
Yeah, it is 11. And amended red line location. We have various statutory consultee comments together with representations, which I'll ask Sue if she summarised for members, please.
Yes, we've got a renewed comment from the Highways Department, who state that as the details on the required traffic regulation order are missing in the amended plans, so the stance must remain that without suitable and enforceable parking restrictions along Albion Hill, congestion would likely to be caused due to the lack of width at the proposed access point, so recommendation for refusal therefore still stands. And just to remind you that we discussed this application firstly in January 2017, followed by some amendments in April 2017, where we objected on the grounds of overdevelopment of the site and that it was overbearing and it was out of keeping with the street scene and concern obviously regarding the increase in the volume of traffic. At that time, there were 81 representations in respect of that application. We've since obviously received representations to the amended plans. The amended plans do not mitigate previous objections. The proposal would dominate the street scene, have impact on neighbouring properties, resulting in the loss of light, issues of overlooking and overbearing. There are concerns about the contaminated land associated with the demolished gas meter, the increase in traffic that the proposed development would generate, and the difficulties of the access with parked cars along this stretch of road. The proposed parking restriction would make the situation worse, as the current arrangement with the car parked along this stretch works as a traffic calming measure. It is proposed that the car parking area will be free draining, and there is concern that this could potentially worsen existing flooding issues due to the clay soil in the area. Thank you.
Councillor Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I will say why I'm objecting to this in a moment, but I don't think I've ever sat at an application in Exmouth where there's been 85 objections. It is a large number and we must take notice of it. But the objections are all well founded. The mass of this building is still too large, even though they've come down to 10 flats or 11 flats. It is still higher in places than the original two houses that are there. So the impact on the immediate area for not only the people now being ignored, but at the back as well, is great. I think one should concentrate and make mention of the vehicular access. It's not just a question that these two houses could have two or four vehicles, but there's potentially now going to be 22 vehicles, apart from delivering vehicles, going into this block if it was allowed. But even worse, that there is not sufficient space for the exit and access through to this new development, mainly because the land at the bottom is not owned by the developer and they can't make it any wider. They have, as was read out, on the 13th of March recently, Highways, who don't normally comment on things, have actually said the inadequate width of the access is likely to cause congestion with consequent risk of additional danger to all users of the road, contrary to paragraph 22 of the National Planning and Policy Framework. What that means is that the road is too narrow, and there has been an application which hasn't been successful yet put in to put double yellow lines on both sides of Albion Hill. So the developer is hoping very much that if he stops all the residents parking outside their own house, there will be more space. What will actually happen is not the inconvenience of people that own the houses. It will become a racetrack and will be even more dangerous. So the access situation is still major here. I ask you a question, Madam Chairman. It is a major fall. Will this automatically go to DMC now?
Not necessarily.
So can we call it in, please? Because this, I think when this first came up, I was a young man and had hair. It's going on red. So I think it's about time DMC looked at this properly and did a site visit.
Well, it will go to DMC if the councillors, the district councillors for the ward, all object, but they... the report they get from the officer is for approval, then it would go to DMC because it would be, you know, the two wouldn't.
I think, so, Chairman, could we call it in anyway?
Yeah, no, I'm going to say so, but I'm just reiterating
yes,
how it would go to DMC.
Law.
Yeah. Councillor Tim Dumper.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I'd like to, as a newly elected member of District Council for Town Ward, not, of course, for Little and Ward that this application is in, but it does have a great impact on Town Ward, as Bill also knows as a councillor, and I would very much oppose it on the basis of the road and the amenities of the road there and the access that they're going to provide, that won't provide very well. And certainly as a district councillor, I mean, the chair has just referred to it may go to DMC if all the district ward members object. I shall certainly be putting my objection in as a district councillor. So I second Bill's proposal for refusal.
Thank you. Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. Firstly, could we put in a complaint if there are now 11 units and we're not being given the correct information. So I object to that, to start with. It's quite obvious that the planning officers have not been to this site, otherwise, you know, I can't understand how any sensible person would come up with an idea of allowing a buildings there with 11 units. It's absolutely stupid. I would also, as Councillor Nash said, like to call it into DMC for a site visit. I'd also like a copy of our objections stating how many times this proposal, be it redefined here and there with different windows, has been brought to this committee. A copy of our objections sent to the chairman of DMC might have. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Brian Toy?
Well, it seems to me that any development that puts more traffic on Albion Hill must be resisted. It's dangerous enough as it is. And any development that demands that we put double yellow lines outside residents' homes, deny them the right to park where they had no driveways, I would say could be an infringement of human rights. Mm-hmm. It's another thing we can throw into the mix.
Councillor Fred Kagan.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I've just checked the East Devon planning portal. It's showing as 10 units.
Still showing as 10.
Yeah.
I think you were saying you got an email today or something.
Yes. Yeah, we got an email saying it is 11.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Actually,
obviously came after
the... Could I just say...
I'll show you that email if you'd like to see it.
There's also a floor plan which you've been supplying, which actually numbers the units for us, and there are 11.
Okay.
11 units on the floor.
Yeah,
plans.
Thank you for drawing that to attention, and we obviously will make note of that to East Devon District Council when we respond.
In a strong way.
In a strong way. Okay, so it's been proposed and seconded for refusal on similar grounds to one who objected at the previous meetings, which is objecting on the grounds of overdevelopment of the site is overbearing, out of keeping with the street scene, and obvious concerns or strong concerns regarding the increasing volume of traffic. Also concern of, as far as it hasn't been correctly presented, and also the request that DMC do a site visit before making a decision. We're also concerned with the loss of affordable housing that somebody mentioned, didn't they? We'll write that in. So it's proposed and seconded for refusal. Sorry,
Chairman. Add a copy to the Chairman of DMC.
Copy to Chairman of DMC. Councillor Whitehouse. So proposed and seconded for refusal on those grounds. All those in favour? Any against? So that's refused. Thank you. Do you want to leave before I continue the meeting?
See, if I had more time, I'm on the path of heart.
We'll take care.
I will. Natalie.
Just say Paul said hello.
I will.
Can I ask the people that are going to speak on the two items for consideration to move forward, please, so that we could move over to where the other members of the public were sat, and we could be a bit more inclusive? Thank you. Makes it a lot easier for everybody, I think. Thank you. So we've first got Mrs. Membry, who wishes to speak in respect to the camper van traffic order, which is item 4 on the items for consideration.
I do want to speak on the licensing of the temporary site. So I'll put my out for that as well.
Right, I'll ask the clerk to check that, because obviously we've
Tim took the phone call, so
right, okay.
I don't know.
Well, if we could take the first item then, Mrs. Member, if we could take the camper van traffic order, which is item 4 on the item for consideration, please. Is that okay? Thank you.
Oh, well, firstly, I'd like to say thank you to the Exeter Town Councillors for setting up the task group and to try and solve the problems so many have on the same one. I just have a few concerns, and I have mentioned it before, about the amount of spaces that have been allocated in some of the car parks for motorhomes the past several nights. I know it is a way forward, and I do appreciate that, but I do feel that motorhomes are very long, and they will be taking up spaces of perhaps two cars in these car parks. And at the moment, I believe it's the increase of houses in Exeter that even Sunday, there's so many people coming to Exeter now, that the parking spaces are getting, you know, more harder to find. And also, a lot of towns like Exeter, they're making these facilities for motorhomes and car parks. But to me, they're making them like little small campsites. Well, as a caravan on a campsite, you would have regulations on the campsite. And one of the regulations that bothers me more than anything is the fire regulations, which I have brought up over and over again. Because on in a caravan site, you would have to be 6 metres apart. I know they suggested that they will do that in the car park, but of course you'll have cars between them. So if there was a fire, because most of these sites won't have electricity, and these motorhomes will be using gas to operate their appliances, which is fridges, cookers, and fires. And the big worry to me is fire. So as I say, that is one of the things that bothers me. So, as I say, that is just one of the things I wanted to comment on about these. Because I speak to people in so many towns now that say they're letting them do this. But it's just getting worse and worse for motorhomes everywhere. And I just find that there's too many, and I think we're giving too many spaces in Exmouth. I think we could reduce the amount of spaces we're giving them. And the other thing that bothers me is the new regulation, if it does come in from Devon County Council, and they do stop the overnight parking then, Queen's Drive, who will be enforcing that from 8 p.m. onwards? Because that's when the time, you know, they're allowed to park 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. if it does come in. So I'm wondering, for 8 p.m, who's going to be there enforcing, you know, parking down there? Because they're so used to doing it, that they're bound to come in and try and do it still. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I've noticed, that one town, I think it was up north, they've actually put, I don't know if it is already in car parks here in Exmouth, so I might be wrong here, is about no trailers or caravans parking. Because in Imperial Road at the moment, I don't know if that still applies, that you can park free after 6 o'clock. So as I'm a caravan owner, could I put my car in a free parking space and then put my caravan in the motorhome space if it doesn't say that I'm not allowed to take a trailer or caravan into that car park? So I think, you know, it needs to be probably restricted that you can't take a caravan or a trailer, although I have a caravan myself. Mm-hmm. And then the one thing which has nothing to do with it, but I keep saying it, if the rugby club could be relocated, EDDC could make that a beautiful campsite as it's used temporary already, and one of the clubs would make it a beautiful campsite. Obviously that's something that would probably never happen, but if it could happen, it would, and it would be outdoor here, it would be tourists and the trainees and solve a lot of the problems.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank you. As we're fortunate enough to have Councillor Bill Nash on this committee, and was also the chair of the camper van TAF, would you like to come in?
Yes, thank you. I'm clear that I am, yes, on the Town Council's campervan TAF as chairman of it. Also, the whole question why we're trying to do something with campervans is to allow the road of Queen's Drive up to Auburn Point to be freer, to allow more people in cars to enjoy that facility. That's why the TAF was set up. And to declare that I'm also a councillor for the Little Wall, which it falls into. I'm also district councillor for Town Wall, where the car parks that are under this consideration. So I'm slightly involved. To answer your questions, and quite sensible questions you put, the car parks which are going to have overnight parking, 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. for the campervan, the spaces will be more than adequate, be because people don't usually park their cars overnight in those car parks if they're visiting the area. The car parks are generally empty at night of motor cars of people that are visiting Exmouth during the day. They don't leave them there all night.
Sorry, I'll interrupt. I'm just going to say, I thought that myself. Afterwards, I thought that makes sense. But will they be paying for 24 hours when they park there, or
no,
just for the
no.
12 hours?
The payment will be for the 12 hours,
right.
And it will be monitored by the civil enforcement officers, the same way they will just do a different schedule of working. So they will be working up until after 8 p.m. to ensure there are no camper vans left on the Queen's Drive up to Alton Point. And also starting, well they do start early anyway, but for 8 a.m. to ensure the camper vans parked overnight in the three designated car parks have actually gone, otherwise they'd be ticketed. So the parking situation, also the size when it's drawn out for vehicles will not be, there'll be camper vans, and I'm a camper van owner, and same as you're a camper van owner. Most people that own camper vans are a reasonable size and smaller. We have seen one or two instances of extremely large converted old buses turned into mobile homes, camper vans, they're not camper vans. And they will not be accommodated because they'll have to park within the designated line.
So the Winnebagoes, because there's Winnebagoes
get
there as well.
Well, yes, he's extra large, will not fit in, will not be accepted. And they won't be allowed to park along Queen's Drive all day and all night, for day after day. But one of the important things where the camper vans will park, as you mentioned, is that we're not trying to make campsites. It is to facilitate people to park safely in a car park, but without campsite facilities. Therefore, they can't have barbecues outside, sitting outside of their vans. They can't put awnings out. If you put an awning out, you're taking double the space. They can't start doing washing and hanging washing lines out, all the other things that you do see on a registered campsite. We're not developing registered campsites. This is purely parking. So the car parks are being, and is still under, we're waiting now for the next meeting of the Town Council's Camperburn TAF, where both District Council and East Devon District Council will come back to give their views. The order's been put through. Once the order's been put through, we can then start to dot the I's and cross the T's on what people can do, and more important, what people are not allowed to do. Some of the included in the street orders was to stop people parking camper vans in Imperial Road and other areas. You can't stop camper vans parking in every road. I can't stop them parking outside my own house. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we live in a beautiful coastal town where people want to visit, and we rely and survive on tourism. And caravans, and people using them, so those caravans bring a lot of income into an area when they come and stay and visit. Chairman, I don't think unless you wanted to ask any questions.
No, that's fine. Has anybody else got any, didn't you want to comment on concerning the consultation regarding the proposals that are being made, which, as we are aware, is based on the Town Council's caravan plan in the discussion? Councillor Maggie Chapman.
As far as I am aware, did you not agree, Councillor Nash, that it would be under review and we would look at it?
Yes, that's a very good point, Maddy. You're absolutely right that this will start, we are hoping, for this spring, wherever spring is, the snow's gone, but we are hoping this will probably be May, June before it becomes actual. But then it will be reviewed after 12 months, so this time next year we'll be sitting down seeing how it's gone through the summer months. Yeah, you're quite right.
Thank you. Good. You actually had your opportunity
to
put your questions forward.
Can I just leave the trailer problem with you?
I've taken on board your comments concerning the trailers. Councillor Tim Dunker.
I just wanted to add, Chair, that thanks very much to Mrs. Membury for all the work you've done on this, because I think it's informed councillors, and I'm not tap, so I haven't been involved in that work. But I think the work that's been done both by Bill and the team on that working group, and also our Devon County Council and our East Devon District Council counterparts, have really actually produced something quite actually work. But the review period that was mentioned as well, you know, hopefully you can, you and your friends and contacts can monitor what's going on and feed anything back that we need. But we really do need involved citizens who can tell us and help us with our proposals.
Thank you. So obviously that goes back to the town for the further discussions that they have with county and the district after the proposals, because they're under consultation at the moment. So no doubt when it's finalised, it'll come back to town council anyway. Okay, thank you for that. Then the last item which we have got a speaker concerning is licensing. So
thank you.
And this is Daphne Currier, who wishes to object against the licence for site contemporary uses in Queen's Drive, which is item 2 under items for consideration.
Thank you. I'm Daphne Currier and I'm objecting to the alcohol licensing aspect of this proposal. I'm objecting on 4 points. One is long drinking hours and insufficient toilets. The second is mixing alcohol with the children's play area. The third is safety, long hours of drinking that could lead to people leaving late at night in the dark, running across the road and deciding to go skinny dipping, not knowing it's a dangerous area, in the dark, nobody there to see what's happening. And the fourth point is an unknown and different crowd will be attracted by the long licensing hours. I'd be happier if the licensing application was for limited timing, as with the Manor Gardens. That application is from 4 p.m. Of course, if you're wanting to put food on as well, lunchtime alcohol provision might be desirable. And perhaps the events manager is hoping to attract a beer or cider festival, which is why the application is from 8:30 or 9 a.m. It does seem a long time from 8:30 or 9 a.m. to 11 for a period of 6 weeks. It's not like it's a one-off. It could cause problems. So that's the long drinking hours. At the moment, we have the new toilet block down near the seafront, which now has 9 toilets in it instead of what was there before. I would imagine the events manager is going to hire up some temporary toilets. Will children be expected to use those alongside drinkers, or will there be a separate area, separate toilets in the children's play area so that the two don't have to be mixed up? A direct question was asked at the last meeting. Someone asked if drinkers would be allowed to go around the children's play area, and the answer was yes, there is no barrier planned. There is nothing to say that they can't. A4 signs are mentioned in the safety provision. A4s are not really very big. They possibly need to be bigger, and I would personally prefer a barrier around a children's play area and have that designated a no drinking area for obvious reasons. We don't know who will be attracted by this new event. I would just hope that it doesn't bring a rowdy crowd who cause a lot of money with policing.
Thank you.
Councillor Flitcagan. Thank you, Chairman. I would like to say that the name of the applicant on this application is East Devon District Council. Well, having read the conditions offered by the applicant, I do find it a little bit surprising that we're going to have a CCTV system installed, is that correct?
on the entrances, on all entrances, advising CCTV is in operation. So they must be providing some CCT coverage, because that's one of the conditions that they've said it's got to be operational at all times.
Right.
So they must be
putting
some form of CCTV in that area.
Fine, and I go on that paragraph E, protection of children from harm, they talk about security staff should be employed at premises. It's discretion of the designated premises supervisor holder of the premises license according to their assessment of risk. Once again, all these items of conditions, I find, they've written them down, but I can't really see that things like this can be actually managed very well on the site that they propose to have all these play areas and activities, which we know have been talked about at great length by various meetings in the past. I'm inclined to agree with the lady in the public gallery, Mrs. Courier, 9 o'clock, 8:30, 8:30, 8:30, for all these times right up to 11 p.m. We already have a seafront that has probably in the region of about 6 licensed premises currently. Do we really need drinking in the children's play area? I find the whole thing is, it doesn't fit. We're trying to encourage a family-orientated play area, and here we go, we're trying to sort of, East End District Council want a license so that they can give everybody a drinks license. I'm sorry, I don't agree with it, I think we should object.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor
Brian Toy.
Yes, when we started talking about the seafront plans, we were talking about a resort fit for the 21st century. What is the first thing we think of? Booze. It depresses me. Every time we think of something, we're going to put loads of alcohol in there. In the Manor Gardens, they're going to fence off the drinkers. I would sooner fence off the drinkers and fence off the children. It works pretty well in the Manor Gardens, so that's the best way to do it. I think excessive consumption of alcohol is going to go on because we're going to have many more outlets in this so-called water sport centre. When they've built all these sheds, they'll be asking for more licences. So there'll be plenty of opportunities for people to booze. It says here, no customers are permitted to take open vessels containing alcohol from the premises. So how is that going to be policed? Does it mean it will be gated and there will be guards on the gates watching everybody bringing every bottle in? And what's in the bottle? Reminds me of the story of a nun that brought a bottle through the customs, and the customs officer, he said, what's in it? He said, it's holy water. And he smelled it, he said, it smells like gin. Big gosh, he said, that's a miracle. You've got to open everybody and find out whether it contains alcohol. You know, this is somewhat ridiculous. I think as a transition town, we should be pushing it that they should all the drinks should be served in reusable, washable containers, or no cans or plastic bottles to be served in that area. East Devon has it under its control. East Devon will put that sort of stipulation down. When you look at the documentaries about plastic bottles in the sea, you think, we've got to do something. We've got to do something about it now. It's getting serious. And I think the answer, if this is, unfortunately, it's not going to be primarily a children's play area. It's going to be a multi-entertainment area. I think it would be much better if they apply for licences for the events that happen, rather than having an overall licence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
fine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Councillor Tim
Dunfer. Yes, thank you, Chair. I know it's usually the point of the meeting with the licensing where you would address us and tell us the difficulties that with the current licensing laws of actually restricting any of this, and even in terms of opening at 8:30 and going on till 11 o'clock. Our chair has before talked about an application that she and I attended and tried to get some things changed in terms of the timings. And one of the the issues that there is that if the police are recommending that there is no problem, then until there actually is a problem, then it's actually very difficult to restrict any of these things. The other thing I would also add in modern times, I mean, when I was a boy, and I imagine, Mrs. Currier, when you were a girl, pubs all had heavily glazed windows and all the rest of it, and children should look inside and all the rest of it. But I mean, I can think of quite a number of pubs where children go in, see drinking going on, and it's a lot more free and easy now. And I would say, I would go back to what we said, those of us who objected to this temporary unlicensed application. We said, along I think with you, that we wanted more emphasis on children's play and rather less on the events and that sort of thing. And I would only go to say that, but we're only being sent this for consideration. We haven't got a vote for or against it. But on the other hand, I would say, you would need to give the licensing for alcohol a try, and then if there are problems, then we should involve the police as quickly as possible and try to ensure that the problems are minimised by our actions from there. Thank you.
That's Bill Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I should declare an interest. I'm the councillor in Nittleham for this area of Queen's Drive where these temporary events. I'm trying to think temporary. This goes up to the end of September. Someone mentioned 6 weeks. It's longer than 6 weeks. It's a long temporary. It's for the whole summer into the autumn, into September. My first question, and I did speak at DMC when this application came up as a planning application, quite forcefully about certain things. But now we've got, and one of the things that always the applicant had put in thinking finishing at 10 p.m. Suddenly on the morning of DMC they were notified it was to 11 p.m. on the basis they received this application for a license. Though it says East End District Council, there obviously must be someone that's going to run this bar selling alcohol. It won't be the officers of East End doing it. Might be the town council officers and the man the bar. But that's why suddenly we see 10:30 on the license for alcohol. So it allows half an hour drinking up time. So all the events will be licensed to 11 p.m. to allow that 30 minutes drinking up time. But my main concern on this is the application is for on and off the premises. What premises? There's no pub there. It's just a blank field at the moment. And the premises would be a tent, a shed, and a shed. How can we grant, I mean, our comment should be, we can't give a license for something that doesn't exist, an open play field.
Well, this is the same, in fact, this is the same as when we have anything in the Imperial Recreation Ground. That's how they describe it as premises. You know, when we have events in the Manor Gardens, when we have events on the Imperial Recreation Ground, that is classified as the premises in respect of the licence.
Okay,
just for clarification.
Statement is just a generalisation, but it does worry me and other people that how is this going to be policed, constructed, an orderly manner of people drinking, and particularly when it gets dark, in an area which presumably there might be some fundraising there, maybe music and other things. Maybe the children's area won't be used that much when it's dark at night, but it could be if the parents want to drink and the children have to go and play on the material. During the daytime, yes, it's a children's play area, and that's what we want. There will be drinking and mixing with the children. I just think it's wrong. As far as toilets are concerned, they may have to put more toilets in. That's not part of the licensing here. But the alcohol children is not a good mix. And again, to declare the interest, we have now been informed. There's nothing you can do to stop this. It's going to go ahead. DMC have given approval on it. There could be loud noise right up to 11 o'clock, affecting all the people that live close to that area, all the residents, but it will be monitored. And then over a period of months, if it is noisy, it will be stopped. But it's rather, as it's said, closing the gate after the horse has bolted.
Thank you. I know that Councillor Brian Toy raised the issue that they received for representations from the 23rd of March, just so that it's clear, because we knew it was the 23rd of March, we didn't hold a meeting last week. We did arrange to send an email to licensing at East Devon District Council, because I was personally of the view that we may wish to raise certain objections regarding the licensing or make comments regarding public nuisance and crime and disorder. And also my personal concern was the protection of children from harm, which Mrs. Curry has already raised. We've got various points have been made here. As quite rightly said, we can't object as such, but we can put some comments in. I think Councillor Bill Nash has commented regarding the noise, but we must ensure that those monitors are put in to ensure, the environmental monitors are put in to ensure that the noise doesn't reach a certain level. My own personal concern is the protection of children from harm, which is probably my background and what I do, is that I'm very concerned that if there are events held during the day, which it might well be, and there's, because that's the very nature of some of the events that have been suggested, I am concerned that the children that will be using the play park or on the beach, that you might get people coming out of an event that may have got alcohol and may, you know, and similar to as Mrs. Curry has said, I could just see them going over the road and trying to swim in the sea. So I think the actual part where it does say security staff should employ the premises at the discretion of the designated premises supervisor, I think it's got to be a lot stronger than that. I think it's got to be supervised very well. And a lot of this depends on the who's actually running the event, because East Devon District Council no doubt is going to have various organisations using that temporary space. So I think probably the questions that have been raised, certainly the fact of the play area and children in close proximity, which is obviously a concern, and it does need to be fairly well policed such by whoever's renting the or actually doing the event. We've also got the public nuisance part, which you can only put in comments under certain headings. Unfortunately, you're not allowed to just say we don't like it. So I think we've commented on most of those. The warning notices, I'm quite happy to say that should they be enlarged in some way to A3, saying all that sort of size, I'm quite happy to suggest that and put that in. I'm quite happy with the noise and the what we're saying about the monitoring the noise and the environmental health. We'll need to monitor that. And I'm quite happy to say something about protecting children from harm to ensure, because it's a multi-use site, and that obviously we would expect the security of the site to be paramount, because we certainly don't want anything untoward happening to children or happening to people. So, I mean, as I say, we'll put the various representations in, as members are well aware, and as Councillor Tim Duncan has already said. I don't think we're going to be able to, because as we've done previously, and Councillor Duffer alluded to this, I mean, we had the residents and we had ourselves that were very much against the licensing application, but the police felt it was better to at least try the event before, and I think that might well be the case, but it's really how the police actually view this, and we don't know what their comments are going to be at this stage, or what they're going to say for licensing. You know, they may well come up with various suggestions or various ways they feel it has to be policed to make it safe. So that one, we don't know. But Councillor Nash.
Thank you, Chairman. As I say, as you alluded to it, normally one is aware who the DPS and designated person supervisor is on licensed premises. What we don't know is there going to be one bar for beer, another bar for wine, etc., or there'll be several brewers there. We've no idea. There's no name. It's not East Devon District Council running it. It's going to be someone that is an experienced bar manager, but more important, we must have the DPS's name and the qualification passed by the police when licensing a look at this.
I was thinking it's like other event sites that, or other places that you hire from East Devon District Council, that's, you have to put all that information. They won't let you have a licence unless you give all that information. We certainly can't for temporary licences that I do, so you've got to have the designated person and contact them. All their background.
Councillor Cahill,
last comment.
Thank you, Chairman. Perhaps you can clarify for me, or even some of my colleagues who are on the District Council. This application is in the name of East Devon District Council. Surely East Devon District Council is elected councillors, so is this application actually being applied for in the name of the elected councillors of East Devon District Council?
No, it's in the name of the council.
It's in the name of the corporate body, it'll be in the name of the council, the land, because they own the land, but obviously I would suggest that I don't know, Town Park might be able to advise, I would suggest that the obviously the hirer of that, or who is putting on the event.
So I would say it's similar to when we apply for a licence for the festival. We put in a licence in the name of Exmouth Town Council to have the licence approval for the festival. So it's a similar scenario.
I take that on board and I understand what you're saying, but it is in the name of the body of people. So East Devon District Council, by virtue of the fact they're applying for a licence, they are applying for that. There's not two separate bodies, it's East Devon District Council. The officers work for the council and are elected members. So surely this is in the name of the elected members of the District Council. So I would ask my colleagues, who are district councillors, if they're unhappy with this application, surely they can make representation at their level.
But that would be the same as Exmouth Town Council when we actually apply for a licence for the festival, because it's actually in the name of Exmouth Town Council when we do the festival.
Having worked voluntarily as a town councillor on the festival, it is in my name as it is in everybody else's name.
Yeah.
I would just say to the district councillors around this table and any other district councillors, if they read the notes of this meeting, that this application is in their name.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure they'll note that.
Thank you.
Well, I think we've put the observations that we'll put forward. Hopefully we can get it. Thank you for bringing those items to our attention.
We were going to bring our cocoa.
Thank
you. That's why I said I brought my cocoa if I noticed
it
was so
long. Thank you.
Get a license for this place.
Thank you very much. Right, we'll continue with the rest of the agenda. Certain items under delegated powers, Brixington 18, the 02713 application. Oh, sorry, I missed the minutes of the last meeting, sorry. The minutes of the meeting held on the 5th of March 2018. They have been circulated. Are you happy that I signed them through the last meeting?
Yes, thank you. Remember that far back.
I've only got one comment, and that was the comment regarding the, we did send a letter to East Devon District Council concerning the applications and the
clarity,
and the clarity to do with the design statement for the avenues. I am in the process of following it up, because actually the point that's come back from the head of planning is not actually what we were saying, because we weren't just concerned about the river development or the backland development, we were concerned about a lot of other issues that were coming up for planning, so we will be going back. No urgent business, I'm taking the declarations. So now I'll move on to determine the applications under delegated powers. Brixington 18 of the 02713 tree application, South Lodge, St John's Road, T1 to T7 Sycamores, prune branches back to the property boundary where they overhang adjacent property, Oakford and adjacent public highway, Dinham Way. We have received the tree officer's reports, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, the tree officer says this is a visually significant group of trees growing mainly adjacent to the properties on the southern boundary with Dinham Way. The proposed works seek to remove foliage off the public highway at the request of DCC Highways and vegetation grown over neighbouring property to the west. The works will not significantly impact on the visual amenity and are reasonably justified. So the recommendation is for approval. There is a photograph if you want to check on. Would you like to see it?
Why not?
Is it any good?
I've got a photograph of the tray. 027. Yeah, under there. It's the last page. You just scoop down. There we are.
Well, it's not exciting.
Well, I would say that looks like a painting by Lowry to me.
Are they going to get
and very straight trees.
Okay, thank you. Proposed and seconded. Recommendation for approval. In line with the tree officer's report, all those in favour? Any against? Thank you.
Can we recommend we get a new camera?
Next application, 18, the 0289, TRE 3 application, 16 Brixington Drive, T1 ash crown reduction, reduced tree height by 2 metres to retain the tree with a finished tree height of 9 metres, remaining crown to be reduced by thinning out regrowth and moving along this regrowth. We have received a tree officer's report, which I'll ask.
Yes, as you can see from the photograph, this mature multi-stemmed ash is grown in the applicant's rear garden, makes a positive contribution to the amenity and the character of the area. Historically managed, this is a repeat of these works. So recommendation is for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chapman.
Yeah, the tree officer's report.
I second that. Thank you. Proposed and seconded for approval in line with the tree officer's report. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. The next two applications, 18-0339 tree officers, and 18-0340 tree applications. We have not received the tree officer's report for either. They're obviously next door to each other, but we've not received the tree officer's report. And as the limit date is the 9th of April 18, and we do have another planning meeting next week, I propose that this is deferred pending the tree officer's report.
Agreed.
Thank you. Now move to Holston, application 18 of the 0498 full, 1 Hallam Mews. Construction of first floor extension over garage. Highways do not wish to comment. We have no representations and no comments from statutory consultees. Councillor Dunper?
Am I correct, Chair, in saying that when we postponed the meeting that you actually had a...
Got an extension on it,
yeah. I personally got no objections. I would propose for approval.
I'm happy to second. Councillor
Bacon, yeah?
No, that's fine. So, proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application is 18, the 0518 full, 34 Hill Drive. Construction of single-storey side and rear extension, dormer window to front elevation, extensions to garage and change roof of garage from flat to pitch. Highway do not wish to comment. We've had no representations. Councillor Cahill, do you miss one?
Thank you, Chairman. No, I haven't seen this one, but hearing what you've just said, that there's been no representations, yeah. And I assume that's from neighbours as well. But I do find this whole estate, as we've discussed before, you know, we're going from bungalows into multi-occupancy sort of add-on houses, if you like, call it whatever you wish. But, you know, where do we draw the line on that particular estate? Perhaps we don't, and it's down to the district council, but if there's no... no objection from their immediate neighbours, and it's allowed within the district council planning regulations. You can see no reason for refusal.
I think the problem is, like you've already said, quite a few others have done similar. Mm-hmm. Although I have to say, some of them I do think are rather large. Councillor Dunplan.
Yeah, I would go along with that. Yeah.
Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Now move to Litman Ward, taking on the Broadway. The next is 18
226 Full, Box Office Car Park, Queen's Drive. Retention of existing container and placement of training observation container above. No comments, no representations. I think members might recall that Councillor Taylor has actually had discussions about making something permanent for the Beach Rescue Club when we were doing the alterations to try and find them somewhere more permanent. But at the moment, they're still using containers. So.
So the containers have been. You wouldn't think they're containers now, particularly good when you go into the shower unit and toilets, etc. They smart. All they want to do here in this application is put on top of one of their units another unit, so they can view out at a distance more of the sea area beach which they need to see. They do say it's for a temporary nature. It will have it there, it's sitting on the existing container. It will have its own stairway going in. So I'd say yes, approval.
I think we need it so that they can actually operate. So, Councillor Toy.
I just wonder, there is a spare space available in the this new water sports centre. I wonder whether they could be approached, whether they could offer them some land.
I think this is initially what Councillor Taylor was suggesting to East End District Council, was that they would move along and have some space for the Garden Phase 3 or where Phase 2 is now. But at the present time, I think the other point was, is obviously that's where they want to be, the beach rescue. You know, they want to actually be on that site because they say that's the easiest place for them to see.
So this will be temporary?
It's temporary at the moment. I think they've still been asking whether they can have some sort of permanent building, but I don't think that's on at the moment until we have all the redevelopment, I suspect. Councillor Kagan.
Thank you, Chairman. Can we not turn it on its head? Turn the car park into a water sports centre and a caravan site, and then that would kill two birds with one stone.
We're past that now. Proposed and seconded to for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application is 18, the 0329 Full, Fremont Millier Road. Construction side extension and alterations to front porch. Highways and option to comment, and we've had no representations and no comments from statutory consultees. Councillor Nash?
Yes, there's quite a large corner plot up here at number 3, Montpellier, and this side extension, in fact, sits quite easily. There's plenty of space, and the fact they want to walk to the porch at the front just means they've got better entrance for their front as well. I have no objection to it at all. Pass for approval.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application is 18, the 0467 Full, Flat 2, Clyde Lodge 3, Cypress Road. Construction of single storey side extension. There are no representations and no comments from statutory consultees. Councillor Nash?
Thank you, Chair. This side extension is a single storey, it's not a double storey like a lot of extensions are. Therefore, it doesn't alter the appearance, as you can see in the picture in the middle. It doesn't really alter the appearance much of the building. There's been no comments. It's a really a small side addition. I'm moving for approval.
Thank you. Second. Yeah. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application is 18, the 0477 variant, 16 Portland Avenue. Variation of condition 2, plans condition of planning permission 16, the 18944 Full, construction of detached dwelling, to vary access and parking arrangements. Highways are given standing advice, but we have had representation from Tara, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, just bear with me a moment, just give the chairman the site plan. Right, yes, Tara strongly object to this variation to the original plans. This development has already defiled the street scene by the removal of one of a pair of distinctive red and buff coloured brick pillars, leaving a ragged end to the brick wall. This property lies within the extension to the Exmouth Conservation Area. Tara has raised this issue with the Conservation Officer on the 4th of June 2017 and received a standard format acknowledgement soon afterwards, but no further correspondence. As of the 12th of March 2018, this defilement of the external street facing wall remains with the original brickwork from the pillar that was removed buried under the driveway. So this variation now seeks permission to remove another brick pillar of an even more distinctive style, with no mention that they plan to reinstate it or the previous one. In fact, the plans submitted show that they intend to treat this in the same way as it shows an outline of a pillar of the south and a cutaway wall to the north. We reiterate that this is an Exmouth conservation area which Tara fought for many years to have established, but when there is an infringement of this, no action seems to be taken to rectify the situation. Tara asks that not only should this variation be turned down, but that action should be taken to have the previous pillar reinstated to bring the street scene back as it was previously. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Nash?
Yes, the most up-to-date news is that the applicant has spoken to Tara today to say he would replace the pillar that's been smashed down in the same style. So Tara's objection really no longer holds. The worth examining when you look at this site, remember this is a landlocked site, and they're hoping for putting in application for and having it approved for a road to go along, access road over their own land to the back of their garden for this house to be built. It's an awful pity this wasn't put in right at the beginning when we approved this and when officers approved it. I think I know why, because probably it might have been turned down. It's the old story of lesser amendment after we've got approval. Having said that, they're very cleverly saying it's for disabled people, so there's extra parking space for disabled people. As we've got a lot of disabled people in Exmouth, it's probably very useful. As the objection about the tower, the pillars being rebuilt, I think it should be made a condition. If we approve this widening of their road and putting into extra turning parking spaces, condition is the pillars must be retained. Also, not to take down the tree. Now, it doesn't have a TPL on it, but part of in the conservation area and the scene of Portland Avenue there is this rather magnificent tree, which is getting very close to the widening of the drive. So if you could make that, Madam Chairman, a condition, the tree shouldn't be touched. Mm. And
the pillar should be reinstated.
Yes, that's all. Yeah. I approve it on that basis.
Okay.
Thank
you very much. So,
Can we request a tree officer put a studio on it all season?
Don't know what
tree.
Do you know what sort of tree it is?
I think we tried for TPO on this because it wasn't one of the species. It's just a very lovely tree, but it's. I think we might have a job now that they've got a planning application through on this side to put a TPO on anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't think.
Do you mean that tree down here?
Yes.
So it says existing trees to be retained.
Yeah.
Here.
Does it say retained?
Existing trees to be retained.
Yes, just can we make that a condition? Because if they're widening it, they may not be.
Okay. So, proposed and seconded for approval, subject to our wish that the tree's retained and that the pillars are reinstated. Okay. All those in favour? Next application is 18, it'll be 562 full, 100 A Salterton Road, detention of conservatory. Highways do not wish to comment and there's no representation or comments from statutory consultees. We've also got the same premises under the same number. Same application number?
No, it's 592.
592? Oh, yeah, 592.
Yeah.
And that's 100A Salterton Road. It's conversion of existing roof space together with formation of rear dormer. I don't know if you want to take them separately, Bill, or talk about them at the same time.
Thank you, Joan. Yes, taking the first one, 0562, retention of conservatory. This is really retrospective. They built it without planning permission. And now if we look at the next one below it, 0592, this is Topsy, this house. It was a garden, and they wanted a single-storey extension, which was given approval. Mm-hmm. The single-storey extension turned into two storeys and became a separate house. And then a conservatory was put on the back, Now they want to build into the roof, dormers into the roof to make another few bedrooms. So it really is a great example of how you can grow and grow and grow by keeping it. But it's not affecting anyone, so I mark it.
Okay. Fine, I'm happy to second. So I propose and second the first one. So all those in favour? And presumably you're happy with the rear dormer, the second one on here?
Yes, the dormers is not affecting.
Okay, I'm happy to second that. So propose and seconded for approval. For the second application, which is 1805924. Thank you. Dealt with the next one. And then finally, Witherham Riley, 1803124, 15 Avondale Road. Construction of detached garage for store above. There are no comments from statutory consultees or representations. Councillor Toy?
When I saw this construction of detached garage for store above, my suspicious antennae started twitching. If we can have a site plan, you can see how big it is.
Yes.
The site plan. That's elevations. You see, when you see this long driveway in, this is a backland development, so you want more development on a backland development. So you could turn it down, I think, on overdevelopment straight away. It's not a garage with a store above it. To my mind, it's a separate building with a garage on the first floor, or bottom floor. Store, what is going to be stored in it? One doesn't know. Presumably, some materials might be flammable. Obviously, cars parked underneath the highly volatile fuel. When you look at the elevations, there seems to be no evidence of any fire escape from the up floor. An omission, I think, which could be a deliberate omission, but there are no perforations in the building to allow fire escape to go up to the top. Anyway, I'm sure the fire authority would have an awful lot to say about that. If it remains as it is, a motor garage with a store above it, into my mind, it becomes an industrial building, which we would not accept in a residential area. And then, of course, it brings in the question of unified business rates, and it's an industrial building. I think it's a bit too much anyway. I suspect when you look at the construction, it's also cavity walls right through, which makes it very easy then to convert into something you can live with. And I think that is probably the end plan for this.
Yeah.
So I would strongly recommend you refuse it on the grounds of overdevelopment and no fire escape.
Yeah, I can't.
It's
got an internal staircase, so propose, so infused on the basis of overdevelopment and obviously concerns that it's going to be used for business use. It's
really
industrial, I mean, it's very large, isn't it?
It's and it's overdevelopment, the site anyway. It's about a third the size of the house.
So, okay, so proposed and seconded, proposed and seconded for refusal on those grounds. All those in favour? Thank you.
It doesn't even look like a garage, Chairman.
Excuse me, Chairman.
It's fine. An item for consideration, I think we've dealt with most of them, but we've got I've got another licensing application. An application for Manor Gardens. For limited to the 5th to the 7th of May and the 27th to the 29th of July, which is presumably for some sort of event. But this is in line with really the same as they have for some of those concerts that used to be held, isn't it? I don't know if it's similar to that. I don't actually know whether it's just to do with
the theatre productions.
Yeah.
So I think these are the applications that have been put in by. Spoken and Grapevine, and what they've said in their application, I think.
As town board district circulated, and I did say I was quite happy because they were completing and organising both the May events and the July events.
Yeah.
Except they got technically some wording wrong, the date wrong on the July event, it didn't matter.
But as far as what they wanted to do seemed very sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got
family comments.
Yeah, that's what I mean, says family. But I mean, I've got no comments particularly because we've had other events in Manor Gardens and they've been gone okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. All right, so it's all that. Street licence, we've dealt with that. The warehouse. Anybody got anything? You had a copy letter with a site plan. My only concern, I have had some representations made to me that the site plan, there are disabled vehicles that are parked right in front of where they're proposing to put the, and it's unclear how close it is to those
okay.
disabled spaces. And I've had representations from people that are saying that it's, because here, what they were asking me was whether this road was purposely wider here because there is the spaces, or whether, and there's one here, and what they're worried about is they walk along here, there's one here, they walk along here, and if people are going through and, you know, it's going to impede people, but they're more concerned about that it looked like this was very close to the disabled spaces, but the road is a lot wider there than it is, so I don't know whether it's...
And they're supposed to be 11 foot. Between, isn't there? But they do put tables here.
Exactly. So that's the only concern, that they don't want it impeding disabled parking or disabled people.
Okay.
Because some people said they do have wheelchairs when they park there and it's difficult getting out.
Mm.
So that's the only comment I've had.
Well, it means if we allow it, any other pub can start to put tables outside.
Well, they do already.
Yeah.
The merchants have got tables.
But
they've got to apply for training. The cafe.
Yeah. I think this was just because it's unclear where the disabled parking is.
So just to say as well, that there is a report coming to full council from Chetner this month, where the town council is being asked to take over responsibility for the granting of pavement licensing going forward. So we will have a greater input in terms of the consultation process and the approval process.
Oh,
can I just ask you, does the town council get a financial reward for
yes.
this?
Yes.
So all the details will be at the full council meeting.
Yeah, we do though. The licence fees that are recovered are kept by the town council. But it will give us greater say in the licensing of all cafe licences in Exmouth.
So the only item left is the planning decision from East End District Council. 27 Exeter Road, we have no objections to review. 20 Iona Avenue, Tim's gone now, but I'm quite concerned about that, but we had an objection to that, and it's, I feel sorry for the people in the adjoining house. And the other one is actually wrong, that's been highlighted, because land at south of Redgate, we did object and it's been refused, so that actually shouldn't be in there. And 15 the Broadway, we had no objection. This is the one that the lady was concerned with, that actually highlighted, because we didn't actually see an objection, because it was a workshop in the rear of the garden, but obviously East End thought otherwise.
Chairman, I just asked, we were going to get copies of these. I haven't seen it for that one.
No, it was agreed at the last meeting that we would ensure that the decision notice, with the when it differed from where we had made it, that it would be circulated.
Oh,
because
instead
it used
of just
to be
clicking
circulated.
On
that. Yeah. Because some people found they couldn't click through.
Right, okay, I didn't know about that.
No, it came up at the last meeting, I think.
Okay. I'd like to see it particularly on 15 the Broadway.
I actually think too, it's worth, if you look on the website, it's actually worth looking at the officer's report when you've actually visited the site, because if you read through the officer's report, you can often see things that have come up or he's seen that we haven't seen, vice versa. And that's usually quite interesting, actually, when you read that and you see why he's put it to on that basis, because he's obviously decided that it's useful to take note for future decisions that we make.
And that's why
we have made
reference to, wasn't it?
Yes. And it does, it is useful, because certainly some I've looked at and you think, oh, well, I didn't think of that, but others you can actually challenge on and say, well, really, that he hasn't taken any account of this or that.
Mm.
So it's worth doing that. So I thank you for your time. I'm sorry that we've gone on. I suppose it makes up for the one we finished at 25 past six that night. But can I thank the staff as well, because obviously they've had to stay this evening, and particularly Lisa, who's had to stand in. So thank you. Close meeting.